the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Last weekend, I started to panic a little bit because we've been spending all this time working on the Ten Commandments and we have one left. And it got interrupted with my going into the prison and the message about the prison and everything like that. And I suddenly realized that this week was the beginning of Advent. And I kind of freaked out because I thought, oh goodness, we're not going to get to the last commandment until next year. But I was wrong, because this isn't the beginning of Advent. Advent starts next week. So we get to pick up with our final of the Ten Commandments today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Some traditions split this into two commandments, but they really seem to go together as one, so I'm just going to treat them as one. With my apologies to whomever grew up with these as two commandments, we're going to take it as one. The issue is coveting, which is kind of an interesting word because outside of the church today, we don't actually use that word anywhere. And yet even, and I read from the New International Version, which is one of the more contemporary language versions of the Bible, it still uses the word covet, even though we don't really use that in everyday speech. And I want to make sure that we understand what the word covet means, because I think there's some confusion in it. Because actually, it's kind of funny. I've got one of those study Bibles that has a bunch of the notes at the bottom of it, and it defines covet here as a desire for something with evil motivations. And that didn't seem quite right to me. So I looked it up in some other places, and most of the times they don't mention anything about what your motivation is. It's just a strong desire for something, a very strong desire. But the fact that we're looking at it as a commandment and God saying, don't do these things, we can assume that they mean that there's evil intent here. Now, I don't want people to think that coveting is, in and of itself, is bad. Because even in church talk, we talk about the fact that we sometimes covet things. I know I have mentioned the fact that I covet people's prayers. I like when people pray for me, because many times I need people to pray for me. It's okay to want and desire things, but what's important is our motivation, the reason that we want or desire things, or perhaps how much we want or desire things. In the commandment here in particular, we're talking about things that belong to other people, their houses, their wives, their servants, their animals, anything that belongs to them, which could include shiny hats. I heard some people were coveting Ruby's hat this afternoon. As we have talked about earlier with some of the commandments, when Jesus later in the New Testament talks about some of the commandments, he doesn't really expand upon them, but kind of really puts them together because it's these desires that lead to the other sins. For example, and mostly I think with this coveting, it can lead to stealing of things like shiny hats. It can lead to doing harm to people. It can lead to hatred. It can lead to jealousy. It can lead to murder. Quite honestly, a lot of the men I deal with when I work in the prison ministry, when it comes down to it, they're in trouble because they had such a desire for something that they overstepped the bounds of the law. God calls us not to desire these things, particularly those things that belong to other people. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Jesus said, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, and false testimony, and slander." You see, it is out of desire and emotion that these sins really come. It's from there that they originate. You see, most of the time, sometimes we sin because it's just a spur-of-the-moment thing. We don't often sit down, we don't often like wake up in the morning and start planning our day of sin. At least as Christians, I hope we're not getting up in the morning and planning our day of sin. But sometimes when we fall short, we do so just suddenly. But Jesus is talking here about the fact that sometimes these things come out of our hearts. They come from our feelings. They come from, sometimes they do come from planning. And I know I have heard people talk about the fact that when they are seeking forgiveness from God for a particular sin, they may at the same time be planning the next time they do the same thing. That is not a way to seek forgiveness. It is not repentant to do it that way. See, repentance, when we seek forgiveness for sins, we're supposed to be repenting. Repenting is our fancy church word that means turning around and going the other direction. It's like I remember a few weeks ago, somebody came up to me and said to me, we were on the Kairos weekend, and we were having dinner afterwards, and one of the gentlemen was sitting down with his piece of pie, and he sits down next to me with this piece of pie with some whipped cream on it, and he turns to me and says, "Forgive me, Pastor, for I should not eat this." I said, "Well, if you really want forgiveness, don't eat it." He said, "Well, I guess I don't want forgiveness that much." And he ate his pie. That's a small thing. Now, I don't know if maybe his doctor said, "You know, you really shouldn't be eating the pie." I don't know. It's an example to think about. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." When we talk about coveting, it's often, you know, in these terms, as the commandment goes, it's coveting things that belong to your neighbor, things that belong to someone else. And we need to remember, despite what society tells us today, our lives are not defined by our possessions. And society really makes it very clear that society itself, for the most part, wants us to believe that we are defined by what we own, by how much we have. I mean, we oftentimes, at least the politicians, would have us believe we should be divided into the haves and have-nots, and none of us are haves, obviously, so we should all be out to get the haves because we have not. That, I think, in many ways, is the kind of coveting that we are talking about here. Somebody has something that we don't have, and by golly, we therefore should have the right to take it away from them. Society seems to teach us that, but that is not what God wants of us. We should not be defined by our possessions, not by what we have, but by what we do. Think for a moment about the legacy you are leaving behind. I know personally there was a time in my life when I really was thinking, you know what, someday when I pass away, I would like to be forgotten. I would like to just disappear into the obscurity of history, not to be remembered. I really felt that way at one time. But I have not too long ago changed my mind about that. I do want to be remembered, but I want to be remembered in a certain way. I would like for someday when people look back and say, "Hey, that Colin McRoberts, he was God's man." That's how I want to be remembered. Maybe not necessarily for not to be specifically remembered for things I did, but just in those overall terms, he was God's man. I don't expect I'll ever be wealthy. I don't aspire to be, but I do aspire to be God's man. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. It is not the abundance of possessions I seek. It is really an abundance of blessing. It's what God gives me. And I am abundantly blessed. I almost said abundantly blessed, I think. Abundantly blessed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you." Again, is that desire that we have, that desire that it seems society pushes upon us to acquire, this greed. You know, in my workplace where I have my day job, there are a lot of people there who are considerably younger than I am. I have managers and supervisors who were in diapers when I was in college. And that's kind of hard to work for somebody like that. I don't know if any of you have had that experience, but it's kind of difficult to work for somebody like that and take them seriously. And it seems to me that a lot of these younger kids who are coming into the workforce are very driven to acquire. They're driven into this success for the sake of acquiring more. It looks to me like greed. I hope I'm not accusing anybody of being greedy who really isn't. But they seem to think, or at least they behave like they're thinking, that things are due them. I was taught to work for the sake of work, to provide for my family. And I've had other supervisors over me offer me, or ask me more specifically, I don't know that I've ever actually been offered anything, but ask me more specifically, you know, why are you not interested in moving up in management? Well, if I took a position as a supervisor or manager, there would be more expected of me in terms of my time, and that would take me away from my family. I think I earn a comfortable living, and I'm able to take care of my family. More importantly than that, I get home from work at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I can meet Ruby at the bus stop if I need to. That means more to me than a raise. That means more to me than more responsibility at work. That means more to me than driving a bigger car. The things that we want, the things that we desire, do not need to be the possessions, do not need to be the things. There are even churches today who will tell us that those are the things that we should be going after. I'm going to take another moment now. I know I do this occasionally, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to pick on some churches that preach a gospel of things. There are ministers out there who, it's referred to as the name it and claim it theology. It was a church I attended for a little while when I was in college that I was really enjoying this church until one Sunday morning, the preacher got up in the pulpit and he said, "Everybody who wants a brand new car, come on up and we will pray for you to get a brand new car." Well, my friends and I got up and left that church and we never looked back. See, they'll tell you, some of these churches, that since God answers our prayers, if we have enough faith, it doesn't matter what we ask for, God will still provide it for us. And that's not the case at all. God provides for us what we need, not necessarily the things that we want, but the things that we need. I would much rather have what I need than what I want, because quite honestly, most of the things that I want are not good for me. Most of the things I want, I got no business having. A lot of these name it and claim it preachers will even take it as far as our health. I was reminded very recently of one of these preachers who was preaching on television would often claim that the fact that you are sick, if you ever become sick, it's because you don't have faith. Because whatever's wrong with you, God will heal you. Well, this particular preacher's wife died from cancer. And very shortly after her funeral, he got on television in his television ministry and announced the fact that, well, clearly his wife did not have enough faith. No. She got sick. God took her home. It's okay to want. It is okay to acquire. What's important is our motivation. What are the things we want and why do we want them? Sometimes we may just want something because somebody else has it. Sometimes we might just want it because a particular person has it. They used to call it keeping up with the Joneses. I don't know if they still use that phrase anymore, but somebody has it. A neighbor has it. I need a better one. I need the newest. I need the best. Just because. The reality is we should be looking for what is best for us, not simply what is best. Most of all, I think I've reached the point, I hope I have reached the point where I can honestly say, the thing I want most is God's will. I covet God's will in my life. I desire His blessing more than anything. And I want to be able to do what He wants me to do. And hopefully I'm not being selfish when I say that. I don't know how it can be. My desire is to serve. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word, again today, I believe, is forgiveness. You know, despite what we have done in our lives, despite the things that we have desired and our motivations for those desires, we are still forgiven. But let us examine now, in our own lives, what are the things that we want, and why do we want them? Let us take time during this week to look at those things. The things that we want, and why do we want them? What is our motivation? What is the motivation for our desires? Therein is the covetousness that we are either supposed to avoid or embrace. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.